looking at V for victory and looking at how to have victory over the enemy. The first study that we had looked at victory over the world being one of our enemies. And again, to clarify, we're not talking about every person. We're not talking about individuals. We're talking about the humanistic worldly way of thinking, the collective social ideology that goes on around us, the might makes right, the discover your own truth, the if it feels good, it must be good-ism of the world around us. And we understand that we've got to be weary of that because we see where that's headed. Number one, God warns against the stuff that the world is doing. And number two, we see the not just confusion, but the outright destruction that the world's philosophy creates in a life. So we've got to be careful of that. Today we're going to look at the flesh. Now, I firmly believe this. Of all the enemies that we have, the hardest one to fight is the flesh. We're told in scriptures that if I resist the devil, he'll flee. I understand that through separation of myself from worldly things, I can have protection from that enemy. But I could jump into a submarine, go to the bottom of the deepest ocean, and still have to deal with this enemy right here, and that is myself. We've got to realize what it is, what we're talking about when we say that my biggest enemy is myself. When we talk about our flesh, it's not talking about our physical body, but our sin nature. The part in us that wants to do wrong. From the sudden impulses to say something that would be cruel or to do something that would be counterproductive to a God-honoring life. I kind of lost track with that sentence there, but there's that part of us that wants that. Right, that sudden impulse or that long-term desire that slowly eats us down, that old temptation or a temptation that's gone a lot that comes in and has just a deep impact on us that comes from within. Without any external stimuli, without anything whispering in our ear. And a lot of people, they kind of paint that picture where, well, the devil made me do it, right? I was sitting there and I've heard preachers talk about this and I've heard people give their testimony. Well, I could hear the old devil in my ear saying, grab that bottle and drink it down. And really, more honestly, it's most likely your flesh. Most likely you that's doing that. You put yourself at the bar. You put yourself at that particular point in time. You put yourself there because you desired a thing and you consumed the thing. And now you're looking for a way to minimize the negative appearance of what it is that you did. You're trying to make it look better than what it really was. You made the decision. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. And it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. In your heart and mind, in your natural state, you do not desire the things of God. That is why church pews all over the world are not filled. Because most folks, they wake up in the morning without a natural desire of the things of God. Even saved people can be so far removed from God to where they themselves feel those pangs of, well, I'd rather go golfing, I'd rather go sailing, or whatever it is. And I'm not talking about a vacation here and there. I'm talking about, well, you just woke up and I tell you what, I could go to church or I could have French toast. And you decide to stay home and have French toast. That's what I'm talking about. Just this lack of natural desire for the things of God. It is what makes us turn on the television instead of picking up this book. It is what causes us to do the impulse things. And later we go, well, I don't know what I was thinking. Yes, you did. You were thinking this is going to be fun. You're thinking, I'm going to get some kind of reward, some kind of a dopamine boost off of this thing. That is our old sin nature wanting to dwell in the darkness. And we've got to be able to fight that. Romans 7:18 gives us the truth of it, that inside of us, in our flesh, our old nature dwelleth, as Romans 7:18 says, no good thing. No good thing. We often see atheists, they point to flashes of morality and otherwise ungodly people. Well, you see how this person did just wonderful things for others. Yes, but they also made quite a name for themselves and quite a bank account for themselves and quite a popularity for themselves because of the good things they did. Right? It's that old adage where you go on social media and somebody's sitting there bragging about helping somebody cross the street. Or, hey, we found this homeless person, so we showed up with $700 of fried chicken and gave it to him and blah, 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 blah. You did that for posterity. You did that for the way that it looked. Even in our good things, there is something selfish in it. There is no good thing within us without God. Now, again, we've got to put that into perspective. It does not mean all evil all the time either. Most of the time, we're just existing. But there's no heavenly thing in us. There's no godly thing in us. And most often than not, that's why we see in the headlines these wonderfully amazing people with horrible things hiding in their pasts. Why? Because we are at our very core sinful creatures. Sinful creatures. Well, why is it that this came out about this very popular person? Is it because of this happening? Is it because that happened? No, it's because they exercised their sin nature at one point, hid it, and now it's coming out. So again, we have to keep that into perspective, that not every impulse you have is a good impulse. It's not always something that we need to follow up. The world nowadays, they try to teach us that if it comes from within you, it must have some merit. It must have some right because you feel it and it exists inside of you. Therefore, it must be true and good. That's not how that works. Again, let us go down to the prison there in Jackson, Michigan, and let's talk to the people there that did something that they swore was right. They swore at the time was the best thing for their situation. And you'll see where that thought process leads. It starts off small, works your way up to big. We need to make sure that we keep in check the impulses of our sinful nature. We need to look at it as it is. When the Lord saves you, He does not take away that old nature. Wouldn't that be swell? Wonderful if the moment the Lord saved you, you never felt temptation again. If all of the old memories of sin and things like that were gone and you no longer had a desire for it and you never thought about it again, that'd be wonderful. But that's not our lot in life. We remain with two natures. The part of us that desires the old sinful ways and that desire to dominate the things that are spiritual, and the brand new spiritual nature that desires to please God and walk a Christian lifestyle, right? That's that part of us. So we've got two warring and conflicting sides. Paul talks a lot about that, and we've preached on that just recently. This battle between the two of us. We have to understand the conflict if we're ever going to have victory over the flesh. We have to understand the basis of that conflict. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 7, verse 21. Romans 7:21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So there's a battle. Now, a lot of folks, they'll sit there, they'll take this moment and they will give into the flesh because the conflict is just, it's too much work. Oftentimes when you see somebody who is saved leave church, it's not often that a saved person will leave church, but when that happens, they leave church because they no longer want to participate in the war that is conflicting inside of them. And they feel that if they give in to this sinfulness, they will have peace because there's no conflict. Well, no. Now you get all the prizes that come with sin. The shame. The regret. The problems that come when you sin, right? Getting fired from your job because you're stealing. Losing friendships because you're lying. When we participate in sin in a sinful world, we give in to the flesh. Well, we get what sin does, and we get what sin does. Right? It tears up our lives, pulls us further away from God, creates a scenario of no peace and only conflict. But in the mind, we think, well, I don't have to fight against these things anymore. I was listening to a sermon a couple days ago, and it was an old preacher, and he was telling the story about a time where he was at a church, and the church had a split. And the part of the church that split off started their own church, and they passed out pamphlets in the area. And on the pamphlet says, come to a church where there are no don'ts. That sounds good, don't it? And most often than that, that's what our flesh wants. We want a world with no don'ts. It feels good to be able to do whatever we want to do. And it feels good to be able to satisfy every whim that our mind has. However, we have to understand that there are consequences to our sin. Number one, God's judgment. Number two, right, all the bad effects that come with doing the wrong thing. We have to understand not just the conflict, but the enemy itself. I have to understand this nature in me. Romans 7:21 revealed to us, when he sought to do good, evil was present with him. When I sought to give the gospel, my phone rang and I desired to look on there. Or as I was sitting there to do family devotions, I got caught up on Facebook. And as I was going to read my Bible, I got into an argument with my neighbor instead. When we desire to do the right thing, there will always be this part of you that doesn't want to do it and wants to do something destructive instead. There's always going to be that part. And we feel as though, well, I've got to choose a life. There's not much of a life in giving into the flesh. Right? That's not even from a worldly sense, doing whatever you want to do when you want to do it is destructive to the human discipline. Right? You'll end up overweight. You'll end up sick. You'll end up penniless. You'll end up in all kinds of trouble in jail because you gave in to every whim that hit. Even the world recognizes the danger of letting the flesh win. Galatians 5, verse 17. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Some Christians, they develop this sense of being stuck. I want to do this and I want to do that. And the whole conflict within themselves, the repeated failures, the short-term successes, the back and forth of it all, leaves them feeling stuck in their mind. They struggle. Like, all right, well, it's hard for me to do this, or I don't feel like a good Christian. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. But in all actuality, what you've got is a good fight going on. And you've got to give one side a push. And you've got to stop feeding the other side so much. Because one wants to dominate the other. The spiritual side of you wants to dominate. Don't you want to, this morning, have full reign over your sin nature? That would be beautiful. I would like that. That's my goal. To where I have complete control over my sin nature. That's what the Spirit wants. To do spiritual things, to walk godly, to do things that bring honor and glory to God. That's what I want. The flesh, on the other hand, wants to give up the spiritualness, go out there, do whatever pleases me, set up my own sense of morality, and just enjoy it. The thing is that we've already tried that. For those of us that are saved, we already know what that's like, and we know what it got us. Nothing. Emptiness. Sorrow. Regret. Right? It broke our hearts, but in our flesh we still want it, much like the children of Israel still desiring the leeks and the cucumbers of Egypt. We want to be able to watch and drink and eat and view the things that we've seen before. We want the old things, but we fail to remember the slavery. We fail to remember the broken backs and the whips, and we fail to remember how bad slavery was for us when we were servants to sin. Right? Yes, there's this opposition within us. We must remember what our flesh wants and what it is trying to accomplish and the fact that we've been there before. Now this, of course, this whole battle takes place in the mind. Think about the last time you struggled with sin. All right? Now whether you won or lost against that temptation, I want you to think about it. Where did that battle take place? Now, if this was a television show, there'd be two versions of you, one wearing lighter colors, one wearing darker colors, and they'd be fighting with each other. Or perhaps we've seen that trope before where there's an angel on one side of your shoulder and a demon on the other. Those are false narratives. It's very simple. It's within your mind. I want to do this, but I know I should do that. That is where the battle takes place. Now, sometimes the battle is over so fast because one side of you is stronger than the other. If you do nothing but feed the flesh, give in to lustful things, give in to more carnally minded things, the spiritual part of you doesn't stand a chance. It will fail and fail and fail and fail. We must feed the spiritual side. We must make it strong. We've got to slow down our decisions. I had a really good coach pitch coach, what was who they were. And what they taught me is they said, when I throw the ball at you, I want you to slow it down in your mind. Slow it down. And as I would sit there, I would try to pretend that the ball was moving slower as it came to me. He goes, watch for the stitches. Keep your eyes on the stitches. I had a really good time with that. And you know what? When I was a kid, I could smack a ball pretty far. He was a really good coach. When it comes down to our spiritual lives, when it comes down to these decisions that we make, we have to slow down the pitch. Stop making decisions so fast. Stop giving in to impulses. Take a minute when you have an impulse. Where did this come from? What's going on? What's happening here? Slow it down. I had this week, Danielle kind of gave me the tap on the shoulder. Every year I like to just kind of sneak off and go and pray and just take a day to myself. When I went out and I decided I was going to go camping, so I took my little battery for my CPAP and I'm camping in a tent and I'm laying there and I'm getting comfortable and it was a great day. And all of a sudden I hear this strong rattling coming from my cooler that I foolishly left outside. And I go, something is in my cooler. And I sit there and I'm listening to it to try to determine what it is, right? If it's a raccoon, it's going to be like a soft rustle, right? If it's a bear, it's going to be slapping the thing all over the place. Well, guess what? I heard my cooler just rocking back and forth. I go, there is a bear in my cooler. There's a bear in my cooler. So I sit there and I've got my canteen and I've got my big heavy metal flashlight. Bang, 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 bang. And would you believe that the rattling got louder and nothing changed? It's like I wasn't even doing anything. Nothing happened. So finally I go out there and I grab my gun and I got my flashlight and I unzip the tent and I come out and I go like this. And guess what I saw there by my cooler? Absolutely nothing. And I'm sitting there losing my mind over this. I'm like, well, now wait a minute. So I'm kicking myself going, all right, well, maybe you were sleeping. I go back and lay down. Start to drift off again and brrr, just all this rattling and thumping coming from my cooler. Folks, I fought for an hour inside the tent, outside of the tent, looking at the cooler, thinking I had lost my mind. Now, some of you, you're looking at me because you've already figured out what happened. I go and I grab the stick I was using for my campfire, pop the top off of the lid of my cooler, and this little baby raccoon comes jumping out, goes right, rah, and just ran out there, freaking out. In my mind, I was sitting there trying to debate and debate and debate what was going on. Right? Meanwhile, the thing is in there eating all my hot dogs, just shredding, having a nice little ice bath right there in the cooler. Okay? And in my head, all these impulses, all this, oh, this is going on, that's going on. For like half a second, I'm like, I don't know, maybe there's a ghost getting in my cooler, right? And of course, we know that that's fake, right? We know that's right. Ain't no ghost but the Holy Ghost, right? But all these things flashed through my mind, but there was only one truth, right? Was it a bear? Was it some kids out in the woods messing with me? What's happening here? Am I losing my mind? Is there something under the cooler? Is there something under my tent? We have all these flashes, all these things that run through our mind, but there's only one truth. So therefore, what must we do? We have to slow down the pitch. yes, this might feel good, but in the long run, is this good? In the eyes of the Lord, is this right or is this wrong? Because there's only one right. Right? Now, there are multiple things that can be right, but in a situation where temptation is involved, there can only be one thing. In this battle, it takes place in the mind. And therefore, we have to practice going slower. Practice thinking things through. What would best honor God before we participate in it? Now, thankfully, we don't have to sit there and do this on our own. This is not an exercise that we ourselves have to fight. Let's go back to Romans chapter 7, but this time verse 24. And again, we've preached out of this passage recently. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. When the Lord saved you, he didn't just clear away the old sin. He didn't just pay the debt of the old sin. In that, we now have this new nature and we can go to him and petition for him to give us strength to fight the temptation. To give us maturity to be able to bypass the temptation without it having a grand effect on us. The moment temptation strikes, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. We can go to the Bible to disrupt the thought pattern that we are in that's kind of giving us a struggle here. Throughout all of the Old Testament, we see major physical battles with swords and shields where the Lord entered the battle and the Israelites prevailed. Now, of your sin battles, you know God's going to be more effective than any battle out there on the battlegrounds. He's going to be more effective in your heart. You are a saved child of God. He dwells within you. You have the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse. If we reach out to him, we will have the ability to beat those temptations. And of course, we also see how is it that I can maintain this, not just start a fire in my life for God, but how do I maintain it? Galatians 5:16 tells us that we must walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, it must be a daily thing. When I get up and my eyes are turned to God and my sentiment is turned to God and my intentions are turned to God, today I will serve the Lord. We must have a good practice, develop a practice, maintain the good practice, and keep going. And we have to understand 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. We walk by faith. There's going to be a lot of things that don't make sense to us. But if we obey the Lord, eventually we will see how that turned out. I can think of a good many things in my life where the temptation was to do one thing, but the Bible said another, and I didn't quite understand, but I followed the Lord, and many days, maybe many years later, I look back and said, aha, that's why. That's why. So we walk by faith because God knows, and eventually we'll be able to turn around and see, okay, that would have been a major problem for me had I done that. Romans 13 verse 14 says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be more Christ-like than I am animal-like. You think back about my little story about the raccoon. Why did he get into my cooler? Was it because he was a thief? Was it because he was like Yogi Bear, a cartoon character designed to steal picnic baskets? Why did he do that? He was hungry. But didn't he see the fire and the he see that was probably a human and humans could kill him? And didn't he see all those things? No. What did he see? Nothing. He smelled. What did he smell? My hot dogs. And in his impulse and in his flash, he goes, all right, I'm going to get some of that. And he snuck into the camp and he got the hot. That's impulse. That is sin nature. That is the flesh. Let me do what I want to do and get what I want to get regardless of the dangers involved. Wherefore, if I put on Christ instead, if I strive to be more like Christ himself, it'll make less provision or less capability for my flesh to do those things. There'll be less desire to do the wrong things because everything has fallen into the balance that it should be in. We have to recognize our new position in Christ, and we'll be done with this. Right? Galatians 5:24 says that my old nature or flesh has been crucified. Now, the problem with crucifixion, though, is that it's a slow death, one that'll take the rest of your life for it to finish. Right? And every now and then, that old nature is going to rear its ugly head up and say something and desire something. We must remember that it is not in the driver's seat, right? It is condemned and should be condemned. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, again, that is a metaphor. He wasn't physically on the same cross as Christ, right? This old nature of mine must die. It cannot have the effect on me that it wants. Romans 6:6 reiterates, the old man is crucified with Christ. Right now, the old Adamic nature is what should pass away. That old sinful nature is what should be brought to crucifixion. It should be brought to death. However, it will continue to fight. It will continue to buck against you. And of course, if you're feeding it and you're doing what it wants and you're giving into it, it'll become strong, and it will try to run your life. But ultimately, it all comes down to you. 1 Peter 2:11, you are to abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from them. I'm not going to participate in that. Why? Are you legalist? Are you too strict? Do you take yourself too seriously? Why can't you do this? Why can't you listen to that? Why can't you watch this? Why? Because it's counterintuitive to my spiritual growth. It's counterintuitive. Well, of course, I can go down there and do that. I can go down to the bar. I can run down to one of these little dispensaries. I can do that. But number one, I'd risk God's judgment on me. And number two, it's counterintuitive to my spiritual development. It would feed the flesh. Yeah, I could give into my anger. Yeah, I could give into whatever. But it would feed the flesh. So I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to give that guy a chance. Not at all. Not at all. Again, we have to know where the dangers are and avoid feeding that old flesh. Who in their right mind, knowing that they had a mouse in their garage, would put cheese all over the floor? We wouldn't do it. Who in their right mind, when they're struggling with some kind of illness, wouldn't take the antibiotic that would rid themselves of the thing, but instead would just let it grow? We wouldn't do that. Therefore, the same must be done with our old sinful nature. Don't feed it. Abstain from the things that would make it stronger. Why? So that when temptation comes, we find ourselves more mature and stronger for the battle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are blessed to be here today. Lord, I pray that you help each and every one of us stand strong against our old nature. That, Father, we would be able to put it into its place, do the things that would honor you. And Father, once we do that, we'll understand that we don't need those things to be happy. We don't need those things to have peace. Lord, all of that and more can be found in you. What we do when we feed the flesh is we deprive ourselves of better things, right? We trade the things that you have for us for these piddly little things we see here on earth, these minor entertainments, these minor little bursts of good feelings inside, when, Lord, what you give is more sustaining. What you give is more prolonged. So, Father, help us not to cheat and feed the flesh so that we may have less, or strengthen us today, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.